We're now joined a good friend of mine, Russell Smith, Fox Sports Knoxville. He hosts The Drive from 3 to 6 p.m. up in Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. I've known Russell for several years. We help each other out when we can, talking about Georgia or Tennessee sports. Russell, you're an afternoon guy. Thanks for getting up early this morning. How are things up in Knox, Vegas?
They're pretty good so far, Logan, but just a friendly word of advice. You might want to stop at the store and pick up some antacids on the way to that chili cook-off.
Oh,
sounds
man.
Pretty intense.
I'm telling you, I've been to plenty of chili cook-offs. I've never judged one. So my mindset going into that is like, do I not eat all day today and maybe just have like an empty stomach tomorrow so I can get the full judge? I don't know. Do you have any chili tips for us out there?
No advice, Ben.
Yeah,
I don't know
you.
About taking the empty stomach there. That sounds like it could be a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, no
but,
kidding.
You don't want to overdo it either. I'd shoot for a nice middle ground.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you're right there. I mentioned before we both pulled you on here, Georgia making the trip down to Gainesville, trying to snap a 13-game SEC losing streak. That's one end of the SEC basketball spectrum. The other end, at or very near the top, is the Tennessee Vol men's basketball team right now. In all your years, Russell, of being in there entrenched in Knoxville and working on the radio covering all of Tennessee athletics, has there ever been a time where Tennessee basketball, I'm talking men's basketball, has had this much excitement and this much expectation as we're just about to enter that March segment where we're all going to the tournament?
They've had a couple of nice runs in the late 90s. Jerry Green went to four consecutive NCAA tournaments. And, of course, Bruce Pearl had Tennessee number one for a brief, fleeting moment in 2008. And that's kind of the gold standard, is that 2018 that won 31 games, was number one in the country in late February for a week, and kind of flamed out, lost in the Sweet 16. If Tennessee, this year's team, can go further, then it'll probably end up being remembered as the best team in school history. So a lot of excitement around Tennessee basketball for sure right now. The Vols have, I don't want to say it's hard to say you're stumbling when you're 24-3 or whatever it is, but they have lost two of their last four games. But those games were at Kentucky and at LSU, which I think are two really good teams. So there's a huge rematch with Kentucky tomorrow here in Knoxville, and if Tennessee can win that one, that would give them a ton of momentum as we head into postseason play.
I did want to bring that up. You said Tennessee is hosting Kentucky tomorrow. I think a lot of folks sort of assume that there's a really good chance that Tennessee and Kentucky would split those games, and as we know, Kentucky got the better of Tennessee the first go-round in Rupp Arena. What are your expectations? You mentioned losers, if you want to put it that way, glass half empty, two of the last four. You've also won two of the last four, just to remind you of that. But what are your expectations tomorrow night? Do you think Admiral Schofield and the boys can get on the better side of that scoreboard tomorrow night?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Reed Travis plays for Kentucky. He's kind of their enforcer. And in the game up at Rupp, I mean, Kentucky really took it to Tennessee. Tennessee had won 19 in a row coming into that game. They had been number one for a month. And there was just a lot of feel-good optimism. They hadn't really been challenged either. They were blowing people out. And Kentucky just physically manhandled Tennessee, which was startling to see a veteran team get taken to it by a team that plays a lot of freshmen. So I think there's a challenge, and Tennessee's manhood has been challenged in a way. So I think that it'll be incumbent on Tennessee to come out and be the physical aggressor. I think they're going to have to go out there and punch Kentucky in the mouth, kind of like they did to Tennessee 2 weeks ago. There's something to prove, definitely, for Grant Williams, who's the defending SEC player of the year. There's a lot of feeling that P.J. Washington from Kentucky might take that mantle from him this year. If Reed Travis is out, I would expect Grant and P.J. to be matched up one-on-one for much of the game, and that could be an interesting little sideline. Whoever gets the better of that individual matchup might have the front runner for that Player of the Year award, as well as a conference championship. Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU are all tied at the top of the league standings. LSU's been a little inconsistent. They play at Alabama and at Florida. Wouldn't be surprised to see them have a hiccup in one of those games. If they do, that opens the door for the winner of tomorrow's Tennessee-Kentucky game to win the SEC outright. So there's a lot at stake here this weekend.
When you play a team like Kentucky in basketball, I feel like they kind of have that same aura around them, like Alabama in football or the Patriots in the NFL, where you feel like almost everything has to go right and more to win when you're not – Tennessee's obviously a great basketball team this year. They don't have that same kind of, I guess, tradition and aura that really no one else has other than maybe like Duke, UNC, schools like that. What's kind of the vibe like in Knoxville where, yeah, this team is probably as talented as Tennessee, as Kentucky, but you've still got to really overcome that. Just there's that mental gap, I feel like, when you play a team like Kentucky or Alabama football, Patriots in the NFL. What's kind of the vibe with that? And, you know, do fans and the team feel confident they can, you know, get over that gap?
Look, there's no doubt. I mean, Kentucky's your proverbial blue blood. They're right there with Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA. When you talk about the most storied programs in college basketball history, Tennessee has a nice basketball history, but nobody puts them in that ilk. So that's the challenge, is to not be afraid or intimidated by Kentucky. I think that Thompson Bowling Arena has been a great home court advantage this year. Tennessee hasn't lost at home in almost 2 years now. It's a 21,000-seat arena that's going to be sold out. There aren't going to be many Kentucky fans. Usually there's a lot of Kentucky fans that get into the building for these types of games, but Tennessee's been selling out consistently at home. So it should be a pretty wild atmosphere. I think that will help for Tennessee tomorrow. And it's kind of like I said earlier, you know, Tennessee got punched in the mouth 2 weeks ago by these guys. I don't want to say they were intimidated, but I do think they were a little bit surprised, and they were never able to fully match Kentucky's physical intensity in that game. You can't be surprised by it tomorrow. You got to know that it's coming. Teams have been very rough with Grant Williams. You mentioned Admiral Schofield. Admiral and Grant are both 6'6", 240-pound, you know, big, strong, tough guys. They're physical, junior and senior, been around for a long time. So teams are coming in trying to rough those guys up, quite frankly. And Tennessee can't be taken off their game by that. They have to go in expecting that, embrace the challenge. Don't, you know, complain to the refs looking for a call or anything like that. They got to play through the contact. And, you know, it's difficult. You're right. You know, Kentucky is a big deal. It's a huge rivalry game. It always has been for a long time here in Knoxville now. And Tennessee fans are expecting a win tomorrow. So Ball's going to have to go out and find a way to get it done.
Yeah, big-time atmosphere up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hosting Kentucky tomorrow night, a lot on the line for the, I guess, our NCAA tournament seedings. I did want to switch gears a little bit. One of the main reasons I wanted to have you on this morning, Russell, you and I have spoken about this on your radio station. A couple of weeks ago, when the announcement came out, or at least it's assumed to be the case, that Auburn and Tennessee are going to flip spots on the University of Georgia football schedule. I've told you the majority of talk down here is how it affects the Georgia-Auburn game, and it almost seems like people are overlooking the fact that, hey, we're also playing Tennessee much later in the season. How much did this catch you guys off guard? I think, in fact, I may have broken the news to you about it when I sent you a message asking what Knoxville was like in mid-November. But the day this was announced and it's going to happen, what was the mindset in Tennessee or Knoxville? That, like, one, where did this come from? And two, how accepting are you guys of having Georgia now much later on your schedule?
Yeah, you did drop that on me a week or so ago, Logan. We had no idea. I did not even know that this was a thing that was being talked about. And I guess my initial reaction was surprise all the way around. I didn't really have a strong, oh, this is bad for Tennessee or this is good for Tennessee take on the issue. I guess I'm a little bit surprised, just the neutral fan in me, just the fan of college football in general. You know, it's Georgia-Auburn, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South. That's kind of a late November tradition. When I think of that game, I think of, you know, the grass turning a little bit brown, people in sweaters and jackets in the stand. The pageantry is just associated with late November college football atmosphere. So that's going to be a little bit different. From Tennessee's standpoint, I think that fans are on board with it. When Missouri came in, Missouri and A&M came in 2012, and they rearranged the schedules, Tennessee has had a really tough schedule in October since then. They typically play Florida the last week of September. Then I think it's Georgia, an SEC West opponent. It was Texas A&M a couple of years ago. Ooh. Interesting, 2016, probably Butch Jones's best year. They had Florida, Georgia, A&M, and Alabama all in a row. And it's been kind of like that every year since 2012. So I think Philip Fulmer probably looked at this as a chance to break up that October gauntlet for the Vols a little bit. And I guess Missouri is the game that's going to be switching out. November has usually been a lighter schedule month for Tennessee. So it just kind of breaks up the intensity of that middle chunk of the season for Tennessee. And, you know, not to take a shot at Missouri or anything, but they're not Georgia. So right. Hopefully for a Tennessee standpoint, that just makes that schedule even out a little bit instead of so front-loaded, back-loaded. I guess Tennessee's schedule has been middle-loaded the past couple of years.
I guess I'll ask you the same question I asked you then, just for our listeners here. When you think mid-November, Neyland Stadium, I've obviously been there several times early October. There's been days that I have been very hot and sweated a lot in Neyland Stadium, but I assume mid-November, are we talking like snow shoes we got to bring with us, or maybe sort of a light fall jacket? What is the consensus of mid-November up in Knoxville?
Logan, I wish I could give you a straight answer on this one. I really can't, brother. It just depends. I've been in Neyland Stadium in November before where a light jacket, a sweater will do. I've also been in there when it's, 32 degrees with a wind chill of 20 and there's just no level of layers that will do. So I don't know what to tell you, man. Hopefully it's not too bad, but that's another reason. Some Tennessee fans have brought this up. I don't know if this is a big deal or not, but they feel that maybe that could be an advantage for the Vols. I guess maybe a little warmer down in Athens, maybe a Georgia team that isn't accustomed to playing in typically, really intense cold weather, but I don't know. I don't know that the climate is that different in Athens than Knoxville. So there will probably be some cold weather games. I don't know. I mean, does it get cold in Athens in November? Will Tennessee fans have to pack some cold weather gear?
So if I could replay exactly what you said about Knoxville, is I would say the same thing to you. There have been days that we've played Auburn that, like you said, not enough layers will do. There have been times where I've been in shorts and a T-shirt weeks later playing Georgia Tech a couple weeks later. So November's a very hit-or-miss month here. Speaking with Russell Smith, Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive, 105.7 FM up in Knoxville.
Hey, Russell, with just Pruitt entering his second season and everything, I feel like the expectations the first year weren't insanely high because they knew it was going to be rebuilding. But he's had a lot of things go his way. Pruitt's been making some moves, it looks like, this offseason. He got the big transfer of Robert Solomon, poached Jim Chaney out of Athens. And also I know what's huge for recruiting is getting a guy like Harrison Bailey to commit a quarterback for next year's class, and that'll probably help set up the recruiting class. How do you think Tennessee fans are going to handle the expectations this year where, do they think they're ready to compete with Georgia and Florida, or do they, mainly Georgia, I really guess, in the East, but or do you think they still understand it's a process and this might take another year or two, where they did have a little bit more success than maybe we at least anticipated here? That win against Auburn was huge. How do you think they'll handle that, expectations?
Well, and this is really sad to say, but it's just indicative of the state of the program. But Tennessee needs to worry about beating Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri before they turn their attentions to Florida and Georgia, in my opinion. I mean, they've lost two in a row. I think it's something like three or maybe even four out of five to Vandy, which is just, unfathomable to longtime Tennessee fans. But Jeremy Pruitt inherited a mess, and there's no way around it. I don't think Tennessee fans are anticipating some type of 9 or 10-win season where they challenge for the East this season. But you went 5-7 last year. You went 4-8 the year before. I think Tennessee fans just want to see that steady progress. and get to a bowl game and not have any more, you know, just embarrassing losses. Our last vision of this team was basically seeing them quit and lay down in Nashville and get stomped by Vanderbilt. So I think Tennessee fans realize that Pruitt inherited a mess. They need players. They're trying to recruit out there. You know, you mentioned Jim Chaney coming in to coach the offense. Tennessee also brought in T. Martin, who is an elite recruiter and obviously a local hero, quarterback of the 98 National Championship team, to coach receivers here. They brought in Derek Ansley, who was the highest paid secondary coach in the NFL for the Raiders, as defensive coordinator to help Pruitt. So Philip Fulmer has given Jeremy Pruitt everything he needs to be successful. Tennessee has all the facilities any coach could ask for. Fulmer has opened up the pocketbook to bring in an elite level assistant coaching staff. They've got all the analysts and quality control guys and all that stuff. So I don't think the expectations are through the roof this year, just because we know that the talent level is not anywhere close to what Georgia and Alabama bring to the table. But he's been given everything he needs to fix that. They signed a pretty good class this past year for a team that just went 5-7, and they need to show that steady progress. I think the expectations will drastically increase in 2020. That'll be Pruitt's third year. Some of these high-profile recruits he's signed will be in the program for a couple of years at that point. I think that Tennessee fans will be expecting, you know, it's hard to predict what the expectations will be a year from now, but I don't think we'll be sitting here talking about 6 or 7 wins in a bowl game. So I do think that, you know, honeymoon period, whatever you want to call it, like he's getting a bit of an extended one. Nobody's expectations are ever high that first year, but I don't think that Tennessee fans are going to, you know, be burning couches and wanting to fire up the hot board, the coaching search board, if Jeremy Pruitt doesn't win the SEC East this year.
A couple more minutes here with Russell Smith of Fox Sports Knoxville, host of The Drive, 3 to 6 p.m. up there in Knoxville. Russell, one reason I like talking to you is because you're just like us. You are a Tennessee guy. You're a Tennessee fan at heart. We just happen to have radio shows, or we don't have to be as biased toward the things that we love as, say, like a newspaper reporter, so to speak. I ask that so I can maybe ask you to gauge the fan base of Tennessee on their thoughts when it comes to what the University of Georgia is doing down here. I've told you over and over on your show that the Georgia fan base still looks at Kirby Smart as king right now. He can do no wrong. I think optimism for the Georgia program is higher than I've ever seen it in my 35 years of life. But asking about Tennessee fans, when they look down at Georgia and they see what Kirby Smart is putting together, are Tennessee fans of the belief that this is the new norm for Georgia? Are they expecting Georgia any time now to kind of come crashing back down to earth and maybe be that Georgia that will let you down that we're so accustomed to over the last couple decades? So what are Tennessee fans' thoughts on what Georgia's doing right now?
Well, I think they're hoping that Georgia will come crashing down, but I don't think anybody who's realistic, who follows it closely, who knows what Kirby and those guys are doing on the recruiting trail, expects that to happen. Listen, man, I'm 38. I've been following SEC football since I was old enough to talk. I've always thought Georgia was a sleeping giant. Obviously, you know, their last big moment was with a Herschel, I guess, in 1982, whenever that was. So they've been trying to get back there. You know, I remember in the 1990s when, you know, Georgia had all the talent in the world, and for whatever reason, like you said, you know, just couldn't get over the hump, and Tennessee, you know, more or less had their way with Georgia during that that stretch. Mark Richt come in, that changed. It's been much more even since then. Georgia's obviously had the upper hand for the past little while. Speaking for myself, I look at what Kirby is doing, and finally that sleeping giant has awoken. And I know that Georgia's had trouble getting over the hump against Alabama
right
the past 2 years.
A lot of folks have.
Golly, you know, yeah, who hasn't?
Right.
I mean, it's hard to take down the monster. But from my vantage point, I mean, Georgia's running the SEC East right now, and I don't even see really anybody making huge moves to challenge that. I mean, Florida's trying to get back to what they have been. Tennessee's trying to get back to what they have been. But Georgia's a cut above right now. And you just look at that roster, and, I mean, golly, they are absolutely stacked.
Yeah,
they're following that Alabama model that Tennessee's trying to emulate too. But from Tennessee's standpoint, man, we're a couple of years behind. So, like I said, you know, Tennessee's just trying to catch the bottom feeders and reestablish dominance over the Kentuckys, Vanderbilts of the world before they go off chasing SEC Eastern Division glory. But I can tell you that, you know, Tennessee fans might not like it, might not want to admit it, but you have to have a lot of respect for the program that Kirby Smart has built at Georgia.
Yeah, we're certainly excited down here. Russell, we'll let you go on this. You've already given me way more time than I told you I was going to take of yours. Just quickly, give me your final four. I guess we're still about a month away from that. Who do you think is going to be in there? And I'm curious to see if the hometown Vols are on your list.
Golly, man. Well, you know, Tennessee's one of a handful of, you know, pretty well-known programs that has never made a Final Four. Has Georgia been to a Final Four?
In 1983, we went to the Final Four.
Okay.
So we've checked that box, yes.
Yeah, Tennessee's never been to one. I think there's like Alabama, maybe Auburn, Missouri has pretty good basketball tradition. You know, they've never been to one. That's the goal. I mean, if Tennessee went to a Final Four this year, that would just be the biggest, you know, since the football program's been down, that'd be the biggest sports story around here in 10 years, in my opinion. This town has basketball fever right now. Final Four, well, you know, you kind of start with Duke. You know, if Zion Williamson comes back, I think that I would be very surprised if they don't make it or come very, very close. Gonzaga is very impressive. Tennessee beat them earlier in the year. That's a great basketball team. You know, they kind of disappear once it goes into conference play, and we don't see them much because of the conference they play in. But obviously they're having a great season. And then Virginia, you know, you look at that Virginia roster, and aside from DeAndre Hunter, you don't see a lot of NBA players, but you just see a bunch of good college basketball players, a bunch of, you know, guys with old man game in that roster. So, you know, they're going to have something to prove after getting bounced in the first round by Maryland, Baltimore County, or whatever it was last year. Kind of like those three teams, Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, obviously looking at probably being one seeds and having the inside track. It's hard for me to say that Tennessee's going to make the Final Four, having never been there. But I do think if, again, they beat Kentucky tomorrow, I kind of think the season gets back on track. They've got some momentum. This team wants it, I can tell you that. And they're gonna try and get to Minneapolis. If they don't, they're gonna go down swinging.
Great stuff from Russell Smith, host of The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Thanks a lot for your time this morning. I'm looking forward to getting up to Vol Navy one more time in October, then starting 2020. I guess we'll start seeing each other in November. So best of luck this weekend, and thanks for joining us, Russell.
All right, thanks, guys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.